bring the committee back to order. Again, it is about 8:37 here on Monday, March 19th, and President, our Representative Johnson, Representative Ledoux, Representative Wilson, Representative Johansson, Representative Edgeman, and myself, Representative Seaton, and reminding everybody about the cell phones. And today we are going to hear three things, and that's HAR 14, HB 186, and HB 15 are all on the agenda. HB 15 is, there was a request for a side-by-side of looking at different commissions and the different way they handle those recusals, and that's not ready now, so we won't be looking at discussion of the bill, but if there is further public testimony, we'll open it for public testimony. Is there anything to come before the committee before we proceed? Okay, then let's start with HB 14. Madam Chair.
I move.
Madam Chair, you will be. Representative Wilson.
I move the CS for House Joint Resolution Number 14, version K, before us for discussion.
Thank you. And I guess this is a fisheries committee bill, so we'll, I guess we're all fine where we are. But I'll go ahead and introduce it there. Everyone has it. We have version K, the fish before us. And of course, this is urging the United States Congress to enact Senate Bill 552 and House 1334 so that individuals receiving a damage award from the Exxon Valdez oil spill can benefit from the income averaging and retirement contribution provisions of the bill. And so this resolution basically talks about the fact that fishermen not having received that money over the length of time since the award was made, they haven't been able to put that money in retirement accounts, and also they would be subject to a very high tax consequence receiving the money all at one time. So this resolution simply asks to support our two senators and our representative in Congress in urging Congress to pass the bill. Are there questions on the bill or on the resolution? And by the way, let the record reflect that Representative Holmes has joined us. Good morning. Okay, seeing nothing from the committee, is there public testimony on HJR 14? Is there anyone in the audience? Yes, would you come forward? I don't have the sheet yet, and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McCune. I represent United Fishermen of Alaska. Probably no surprise that we support this bill. And it's going to be an uphill battle, and we appreciate the committee introducing this legislation, because it's kind of a special legislation for one little area, and it's going to take some horsepower to get this thing passed in Congress, I'm being told. So I appreciate the committee putting it forward, and I think it would help a lot of us. You know, a lot of the, as you know, a lot of the Exxon folks, fishermen and others, are getting kind of up there in the age. We hate to say that, but we are getting up there. And this would be very helpful on the retirement and the income averaging on if there is a award ever awarded.
Thank you, Jerry. Are there questions for Representative Ledoux?
This question goes a little bit beyond this bill, but a while back I had read something to the effect that fishermen would not be able to deduct the attorney's fees from the settlement when they pay their taxes. Is that correct, Jerry?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, there's two different opinions. And the one opinion I got was, well, it happened in a case in Florida where a fella got a punitive damage award, and then you're responsible for the whole award. Let's say it's $400,000. Then they get the $400,000 is on you, and then they take out the attorney fees. and you have to pay on the $400,000, even though they deducted attorney fees. But the way my attorney's saying now that self-employed people would not have to heed to that rule, but we're dealing with IRS, so I'm not so sure about that. But that's what my tax attorney says right now.
Thanks.
Are there further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for UFA's testimony on the bill. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on HDR 14? Let's go to the phone. We have Frank Mullen and Homer. Are you there, Frank?
Yes, good morning. I am here.
Good morning. Would you identify yourself and who you represent for the record, and then go ahead with your testimony?
Yes, my name is Frank Mullen, P.O. Box 2577, Homer. I am a lifelong commercial fisherman. I'm a financial planner here in Homer. I've been working for years on, you know, just back and forth with the attorney groups trying to obtain some kind of tax mitigation concept, and the idea of the Senate bill that House Joint Resolution 14 addresses, you know, it's quite clear that it's a one-time only exemption to existing caps that are in place for IRA contributions and the income averaging concept. One thing that I would like to point out to the committee is that, you know, I want to make sure that people aren't viewing this whole concept as some kind of an effort to dodge taxes entirely by fishermen. That's just not the case. We will pay our federal income tax, but if in a hypothetical circumstance we are able to, you know, make a contribution of the amount of the award into an IRA, then by virtue of tax law, we'll be paying the tax over the period of time whereby we make deductions from that IRA. So instead of paying 35% on the front end to the IRS, you know, fishermen would be paying whatever their current tax rate is over the lifetime of, you know, over their lifetime as they, you know, take payments out of the IRA. This is simply an effort to help fishermen who have been waiting in agony for, you know, the 18th anniversary of the spill is coming up here in a week, and you know, as Mr. McCune stated earlier, we really need some help with this, and this resolution would be of great value.
Thank you, Frank. Are there questions for Frank Mullen and Homer? Seeing none, thank you again for your testimony.
Thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for introducing this, Paul.
Is there anyone else online? No one else online, and there is no one else in the audience. So I will close public testimony, and we have H.R. 14 before the committee. Is there discussion on Representative Wilson?
I think this is very straightforward, and I think there's, as far as I'm concerned, there's no question about what I want to do, and I'm ready for a motion if you are.
Yes, Representative Wilson, we're ready for a motion.
I move CS for House Joint Resolution number 14, version K, out of committee with individual recommendations, and I don't think there's nothing that goes along with it.
There is no fiscal note at this time. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, H.R. 14 will pass from committee with individual recommendations. And I have a further question for the committee on H.R. 14, and that is that we have Senator Stevens in town today. This deals with one of the pieces of legislation that he is a sponsor of. I have prepared for the committee on the back, on the second page, a a sheet that says, as passed by out-of-house fisheries committee on this date, and with our signatures. Would the committee like to have individual signatures signed and sent those as a fish committee? It wouldn't be for the legislature, it's a work draft. And, but it would show that the fisheries committee has passed this on this date, and be signed by any member who wishes. Is that, okay, I see, full agreement of the committee. So we will also do that, so we'll pass those around. And there's three of them, one for Representative Young, and one for Senator Stevens, and one for Senator Murkowski. So we'll send those as original signings from the Fisheries Committee. So we'll set that one aside. And now we are on to HB 186, Sport Fishing Guide Records. We have Representative Harris's staff here to lead us through the bill. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for hearing this bill for the record. My name is Tom Wright. I'm staff to Speaker Harris. This bill is introduced by request. We've discussed this with this legislation with ADF&G. Also, some of our charter operators in the Prince William Sound area have expressed concerns and requested the speaker to introduce this bill. Thus, that's the origin. What House Bill 186 does is make minor amendments to Alaska statutes. It allows the Department of Fish and Game to release catch information from sport charter guides to NOAA and to NIMS, the National Marine Fisheries Service, and NOAA. This allows ADF&G to report landings by these sport fishing guides to these agencies in order for these agencies to maybe make some better informed decisions on halibut landings, on other sport fishing guide, gives them access to other sport fishing guide information. I do have Doug Vincent Lang from the Department of Fish and Game Sport Fish Division here to answer any questions about this legislation. But the information that is released to NOAA and to NIMS is still confidential, may not be released to the public under these statutes.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions for the sponsor at this time? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this just catch information? It's not names of how in-depth is this information? Is it actually the people that catch the fish, or is it just the fish caught?
Mr. Chairman, I think that ADF&G would be better prepared to answer that than I.
Good morning. Would you go ahead and identify
Good morning.
Yourself?
My name is Doug Vincent Lang with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Representative Johnson through the chair. This is all records we collect as part of our logbook information, and which would include the license numbers of anglers. Let me kind of go back in history a little bit and tell you why this became a problem. As most of you are aware, halibut allocation has been an extremely difficult issue in the last couple of years to get through. When we were trying to maintain the charter fleet under its guideline harvest levels in areas 2C and 3A, one of the management measures that was relatively well supported by almost everyone was an annual limit. We were told by National Marine Fisheries Service and by state attorneys that the logbook that the state has, which would be needed to enforce an annual limit by the National Marine Fisheries Service, that we could not share our information with National Marine Fisheries Service enforcement. We could share that information to NOAA, but we couldn't share it with law enforcement specifically. It was probably an oversight when we put together the guide licensing bill early on. We could also not share that information with the IPHC. As a result of that, not being able to share, if we were going to go to annual limits, for instance, on halibut charters, which most people wanted before going to a one fish bag limit, we were going to have a federally enforced, federally implemented logbook program on the federal side. So now the charter boat operators would have a state logbook on board their vessels, and they would have a federal logbook on their vessels. So at that point in time, we decided that it was time to amend these statutes, or at least try to amend these statutes, given that even if we shared the information with National Marine Fisheries Service Enforcement, that it would still remain confidential. Now, the only exception to that is if somebody does break the law at the end of the day and it gets into court, then it would become public. But in all other cases, if we give them the file to enforce something like an annual limit, that would remain confidential underneath the agreement we have with National Marine Fisheries Service. So, yes, the short answer of it is that information would be shared, but it would remain confidential until the case had got into a public court case.
Other questions of, I guess I have one for the sponsor, and that is, the way this is written, the this is only related to sport fish and not to commercial fish histories, fishing histories, catch histories, is that correct?
This is already fish tickets and fish ticket information can be shared commercially with the National Marine Fisheries Service under the existing statute. This would add records required of sport fishing guides into that existing statute.
And is there a prohibition on sharing of fish ticket information with the Board of Fisheries? Or does this in any way expand the ability of Fish and Game to share fish ticket information or catch histories with the Board of Fish?
No, this does not change anything with respect to commercial fish statistics, fish tickets, or fish ticket information. This solely allows us to share sport fishing records from sport fishing guides with National Marine Fisheries Service Enforcement and with the IPHC.
Okay, thank you. And let's go to public testimony, and then we'll have some more. Unless anyone else has a question, sponsor, you'll be remaining here. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Let's go to public testimony. We have Victoria O'Connell in Sitka. Are you online?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee.
Good morning. Would you identify yourself and who you represent for the record and go ahead with your testimony?
Sure. My name is Tori O'Connell, and I'm representing Coastal Marine Research, which is my own small consulting business in Sitka. I'm a retired commercial fisheries biologist with the state of Alaska. I would urge you to support House Bill 186. It's absolutely critical for management of the halibut resource for these agencies to be able to share data, and it's been done routinely in commercial fisheries, and including logbook data, fish ticket data, and other catch records. So this is really the only approach that could work, I think, for these types of fisheries where we have multiple agencies involved. But I'd also request that the language be changed to allow data sharing for other species like yellow-eye rockfish, which are bycatch of the halibut fishery and the charter fishery. And this is so that the council can evaluate the impacts of halibut management measures to other species. Although the state does manage yellow-eye, we do so under an agreement with the council, and it is part of the council arena. So I think it's really important to make sure we're looking at the variety of species that are affected by the halibut fishery. Thank you.
Thank you. And Tori, are you specifically just talking about that species of rockfish, or are you talking about sharing all of the logbook data so that those impacts can be seen?
Well, in my mind, it makes sense to share all the groundfish species, including lingcod, which is totally state managed, because there will be impacts with different management measures. So I think that that's important for all the agencies to understand the full implications of management.
Okay, thank you. And are there further questions for Tori O'Connell? Yes, Representative Wilson.
Victoria, this is Representative Wilson. And have you thought of how that would be worded at all?
Representative Wilson, let's see. I have it in section, let's see, on the third page of the bill, section 10, where it says fish tickets and fish ticket information and records required of sport fishing guides regarding halibut to the International Pacific Halibut Commission, I would think that that should say regarding halibut and other groundfish to the International Pacific Halibut Commission. And I guess now that I'm looking at this, I'm wondering why National Marine Fisheries Service isn't included in that line as well, because that would allow sharing with the council. But I think it's just a little bit too specific.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tori. And let's see. I think that we'll go ahead and ask a question of Department of Fish and Game to be able to help us out at this time, although normally we would go public test. We don't have very many people to testify, so we may as well take these questions and suggestions as they come up. Yes, would you identify yourself to the record and go ahead?
My name is Doug Vincent Lang, Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Under 9, we can share any records with NOAA, National Marine Fisheries Service, and NOAA with respect to the records required of sport fishing guides. We're not limited to halibut in that case. Under Section 1 of the existing records, existing law, we can already share with National Marine Fisheries Service all of our records for sport fishing guides with respect to all different species. So the question comes down to, I guess, is under 10, and the Halibut Commission manages halibut, and the word we got this from the since they're not managing other species directly, we would be sharing that only halibut information with the International Pacific Halibut Commission. All other records in terms of development of fishery management plan for either state or federal actions would be done under 9, and those could include lingcod, rockfish, salmon for that matter.
Okay, and following up on that question, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council does have a very active role in managing halibut as a federal entity that does their allocation schemes and all. Are you able to share the data on halibut currently with the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council?
Yes, under 1 we are, but not under the enforcement actions under 9, not with NOAA, National Marine Fisheries Service enforcement. That's why we're trying to correct this.
Okay, just a little clarification. You are able to share with the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council now all the halibut records?
With the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, but not with National Marine Fisheries Service enforcement.
Okay. And I'm just. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So that everyone would be able to get the data they need so that we would have research-based type information to the different agencies that are going to be making these decisions, what more is needed?
Right now, we cannot share information collected from our logbook program with National Marine Fisheries Service Enforcement or with the IPHC. We'd like to be able to get that information to them so that right now, if we can share information with National Marine Fisheries Service Enforcement, then we could potentially end up with an annual limit using the state logbook program rather than have to have these charter boat operators have two logbooks on there so that just simply because we can't share state collected information with them.
Representative Wilson, follow up.
So what you need is in the bill already?
That's correct.
So what Victoria talked about is already in the bill?
I think what Victoria is talking about, if I may be speaking for her, is to also share groundfish records other than halibut with the International Pacific Halibut Commission.
Representative Wilson.
And I guess my question is, would that make a difference for, even if it's in the future, for all the other groundfish that we're talking about, or that we aren't talking about maybe? Do you think that would be good to include that in this bill?
When we drafted the bill with the lawyers, we determined that it would be the primary management agency responsible for developing fishery management plan for other groundfish species was not the International Pacific Halibut Commission. It was the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. That was already covered. So when we drafted this, we wanted to make sure that it was clear that we could share halibut information with the International Pacific Halibut Commission and that we could share information with enforcement, with federal enforcement, because that was not covered. And we had given legal advice from the state attorney saying that we could not share information with our logbook with National Marine Fisheries Service Enforcement. So we wanted to get through that hurdle by correcting these statutes.
And let me clarify then. So let's say we're talking about bycatch. Those specific bycatch measures are handled by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council anyway, and so the IPHC is not the really the appropriate body for looking at those. I mean, IPHC forever has asked Alaska to reduce its bycatch of halibut. But there wouldn't be necessity then for sharing state lingcod data with the IPHC because they don't design the regulations for limiting that bycatch. Is that basically where the philosophy is coming from?
Yes, but again, we want to share as much information to make the best management decisions as possible. So.
Okay, thank you. Representative Ledoux.
The question's been already.
Thank you. Further questions revolving? Okay. Let's go on to Kathy Hansen. Kathy, you're here. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Hansen, and I'm the Executive Director for Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance. I'm statewide chair for United Fishermen of Alaska, and I'm also one of the commercial representatives on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council Charter Halibut Stakeholder Group. And kind of from all three of those perspectives, I'd like to be talking today. We support this legislation. It's very important, and it's very critical at this point in time. You've heard a little bit of what's why. There's some other passage of this bill, and timely passage of this bill is really critical right now. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is at their March-April meeting and then probably final action at their June meeting. They're going to be looking at management measures for Area 2C on the halibut fishery. If this legislation isn't passed, you then, when they're looking at what management measures are appropriate to implement, you either knock out a whole lot of them, like annual limits, for consideration because you're unable to share the data in order to effectively administer an annual limit, or you put in a whole nother layer of bureaucracy on the federal side at the preliminary estimate of cost was about $400,000 to set up a brand new record-keeping database to set up a federal record-keeping system on the federal side. So you have the charter operators who are doing the exact same work in two different logbooks just to meet the different industries. This doesn't make sense. Allowing this data to be shared also falls into another action that the North Pacific Fishery Management Council is taking at this time. They're looking at taking final action on a moratorium for the charter industry on halibut at their April meeting. If the data sharing legislation passes, then all the logbook data is able to be shared with National Marine Fisheries Service for the implementation of the moratorium. Otherwise, again, the charter operator is going to have to go back, request their information from the state, get it with a certified copy, and then present it to National Marine Fisheries Service instead of just passing over the information in a, you know, we've done this on the commercial side and we've gone through and made sure that we no longer, you know, this is all taken in place. This has all been done on the commercial side. It just hasn't been put in place for the charter industry. And that's what this legislation does. But to have it passed by this end of this session is really important for all of these things that are going through the council process that has final action decision points in the next couple meetings. So please keep that in mind as you work on this. I understand what Tori O'Connell brought up in public testimony, and a real simple thing to might be able to do is just on page 3, line 4, is just take out the words regarding halibut. And then that just allows the logbook data to be shared with IPHC, which is and contains the halibut stuff, but it also means that as they're sharing the logbook data, you aren't having to do all sorts of fancy tricks in the database so that they aren't getting the other species. You're just sharing the logbook data, and you know the IPHC is only going to look at the halibut, which is the part they're interested in. You actually, I think, in some ways make it more complicated to share the data with IPHC if you limit it to one species. And thank you very much for consideration of this legislation.
Thank you, Kathy. Does anyone have any questions for Kathy? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You said their meetings are in March and April?
It's always an April council meeting, but it's starting March 26th this year, so I keep referring to it as April out of habit.
So having this legislation enacted prior to that would be advantageous?
It's not so critical that it's in place before the April council meeting, but it definitely needs to be in place by the end of session so that when they go to make final action on the 2C management measures, it's in place for that final action. And the moratorium, they'll take final action at this April meeting, but the implementation of the moratorium will be a year away. So there's time for this data to...
Representative John.
Would this need to be in effect, or if we've just passed it, would that be sufficient for them to not act? Do we need to do an effective date? Should we have an immediate effective date, I guess, is change the title with for an immediate effective date is where I'm going with.
Sure. And I think we'll get the sponsor back up to answer that question.
I didn't realize there was that urgency to get it done that quickly.
And I'm not sure if there is, because if we pass something and the enforcement doesn't happen until a year from now anyway, because that's when the regs would go in, we don't have to go through an immediate effective date for something that's not going to be enforced for at least a year anyway, because that's a time lag in the council process. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. But my understanding is this is going to allow them to go back and get records from the past, which they would have available. Is that not correct, or is anything just from this point forward? Does this allow them to go get past records? Then it would make sense, because they could have all the past records to look at.
Sure, and we'll ask Kathy. Do you have an answer to that?
Not a complete answer, but partial answer. The immediate effective, I don't believe, is necessarily required at this point in time. I think just the normal process will have it in time for when everything needs to be done. But what the council does need to know is that the data sharing will be able to be in place by the time they put a management measure in place.
Okay, thank you.
It's probably for more committee discussions. Does it allow for past data, or just what's collected from this point forward?
Okay, we'll bring them up for that. Any other questions for Kathy Hansen? Thank you very much for your testimony, Kathy. Is there anyone else online to testify? Is there anyone else in the audience here to testify on HB 186?
This is Tori O'Connell again. Can I make one final comment after listening to what Kathy and you all were just talking about?
Yes, Kath, we have a fairly light one, Tori. Would you go ahead and identify yourself for the record and offer your testimony?
Thank you. Victoria O'Connell, Coastal Marine Research in Sitka, Alaska. I think that an immediate effective date is important for this, and I'll tell you why. Right now, National Marine Fisheries Service is about to release a proposed rulemaking for the 2007 season, and if this bill was passed, an annual limit could be under consideration for that, which I believe would be less detrimental to stocks and some of the other things that are currently being considered. So I think it is really timely and important to try and move this as quickly as possible. And it also sends a strong message to the council that you're taking this issue very seriously and you expect them to as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Tori. Okay, is there any other public testimony? Seeing none, we will close public testimony. And we are open for committee discussion. Is there anything else that the sponsor would like to offer at this time?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Tom Wright, staff to Speaker Harris. I agree with the comments about the immediate effective date. It's something that's not going to hurt, probably be more helpful in the long run. So I would concur with that suggestion.
And Doug, would you identify yourself for the record?
And this is Doug Vincelang, Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Regarding 10, there's been a lot of discussion about that. I was just noticing when we were reading it, the words regarding halibut are in the existing statute. And we added simply, and records required of sport fishing guides. So if you were to remove the words regarding halibut, then in essence, you would be also allowing fish ticket and fish ticket information from the commercial fisheries for other species
be given to the IPHC. Currently, only thing that we should be giving to them under existing statute is regarding halibut information.
Appreciate that clarification. Questions from the committee? Representative Jones.
My question about how does this, the information being shared, is that only from the time of the passage forward, or does this allow to go back and look at past history?
Through the chair, this is Doug Vincent Lang again. I would, if this passed, it would be my assumption that I could share information historical as well as information from the forward. That'd be my interpretation.
And when did the logbook program go into effect?
This is Doug Vincent Lang again through the chair. The logbook information went into effect. Well, we had information going back into the late 1990s, and then we made some significant changes to it this past year. So there's information going back to 1996, 1997.
And I guess I have a further question. Is that the logbook information that Fish and Game said it would not use because it was so full of holes, shall I say, that it was inappropriate to use for an allocation scheme?
This is Doug Vincent Lang again. Any information that we share with anybody, we're going to tell them how good we think that information is in terms of making management decisions. There was some information collected back in the late 1990s that would have made it very difficult to make interpretations for an individual quota share system. However, there is information in those logbooks that allow people to show evidence of participation in a fishery that may not necessarily get to the level of awarding an individual fishery quota or anything else that the federal government may do. So although there may be some problems with some of that data, some of that information is still very useful for management in terms of evaluating annual limits or other types of information. So again, we would be when we shared information or had a request to share information, we would send a letter to them saying what we think the data is good for and not good for. And between the two scientists, we would be making a judgment as to the appropriate use of that information.
Good. Okay. I wanted to get that clarified on the record that we weren't making the data better than it was. Other questions? I do have a question that I'll want to talk to the sponsor about potential impacts in changes with the Board of Fisheries. But just for everyone's clarification on timing. Normally, we like to have bills here at least two meetings so that we can get further public testimony and people become aware of these issues. On our Wednesday meeting, if we pass this, it will get to the next committee just as fast as if we pass it today. So because it would be there before the Thursday deadline for people to be able to schedule in the next committee a referral. So my intention for everybody is to hold this bill till Wednesday and ask for public comment on this and to the individual members, and then to bring it up on Wednesday to make sure whether there's any additions that we need to make. Representative Johnson, I presume that you'll be making an immediate effective date motion a little bit later. Are there any other issues of concern, Representative Wilson?
I was going to make a motion, so if he's good.
Okay.
And in terms of committee discussion, I'm wondering if it's appropriate to take out halibut in line 4 on the other page. I think it's line 4, and just so that all records are available. Or page 3, line 4, delete regarding halibut. Is that something that...
Thank you, Representative Johnson. I think that from my aspect, the department has just clarified that if we remove that, then all of a sudden all commercial fish ticket landings, whether they have anything to do with halibut or not, would be subject to sharing with the IPHC, and that's not their intent. So that keeping this in here as regarding halibut to the IPHC and all other species to NIMS enforcement, the council, that, and everyone else, I think that we actually lose something if we take out regarding halibut. We broaden this so much it could be problematic. And maybe we can get a clarification from the department on that. Would you?
It's this Doug Vincent Lang. It's your decision as to whether or not you would like to expand. If you remove the words regarding halibut, then what I'm telling you is that all information, fish ticket information, fish tickets, and sport fishing guide information, both commercial and sport, would be shared with the would be available to be sharing with the IPHC. What we tried to do when we wrote this is make sure that we could share the halibut information similar to how we could the commercial information was going to be shared with the halibut information.
So just for my clarity then, currently we share fish ticket information and fish tickets regarding halibut with the IPHC for the commercial fisheries. Your intention here was to add that same provision in for records regarding sport fishing.
That's correct.
And if we remove the words regarding halibut, then we are expanding so that we share all the commercial fish tickets, commercial fish ticket information for all species with the IPHC.
That would be my interpretation of this, okay. of removing the words regarding halibut.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would say that the more important question here is what we want to be sharing. It's a real simple drafting exercise. We could say fish tickets and fish ticket information regarding halibut and records required of sport fishing guides if we wanted to be able to share the other sport fishing guide information. It's a question of what do we want to share. We could still keep the fish ticket and fish ticket information limited to halibut and open the other one up if we wanted to. I'd be interested in the question of whether we want to be able to share other ground fish information from sport fishing guides.
Thank you. And Representative Wilson, did you have a discussion?
Well, I'm a little bit reluctant to open that up until we know for sure what the ramifications are. But I don't know. I just don't know what that's pretty confidential information. And if we open that up to everything, I just don't know.
And Representative Wilson, my concern is that, you know, the IPHC does not manage the halibut fishery. All they're doing is, they're setting the biological limits. The management, as we just saw with the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of State, turned down the requirement where the IPHC came in and said, oh, we want you to have one fish during this part and that. So the management of those is at the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and we already share that data with the National Pacific Fisheries Management Council. So, I am reluctant to share with an internationally things that they don't need or that they don't really control. So, Representative Ledoux.
Yeah, I concur with both you and Representative Wilson. And clearly, since Section 10 right now specifies or limits it to the halibut, the concern about processing and the data processing point doesn't seem to be really important. I mean, they're able to do it now with just halibut.
Okay. Are there... Department, would you go ahead and identify?
This is Doug Vincent Lang again. And let me just be clear. If the Halibut Commission is going to be making a decision that impacts other species, we'd be able to talk about that. We just would not be able to share the specific line-by-line records. We could still talk about the likely impact of any decision that they have in an aggregate of overall logbook information that we collected in aggregate. So the information would be available, just wouldn't be available on a line-by-line-by-line basis through the logbooks.
Does anyone else have any other question? I think that satisfies the members of the committee, leaving that in. So, Representative Wilson.
I would like to move amendment number one, and it would be a conforming amendment, adding a section 2 to the bill with an immediate effective date.
And that would be a title change as well. Is there any opposition to adding an immediate effective date to the bill? Seeing none, amendment number one passes. Are there any further amendments to be offered or any other further discussion at this time? Seeing none, we do have a zero fiscal note for this bill.
Well, I need to add that to the... No.
We'll hold this bill until Wednesday, and our intention is to get those further comments and move this on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Just thinking I moved the bill.
We now have HB 15, Board of Fish Conflict of Interest. Do we have anyone online to testify? Do we have anyone in the audience who wishes to offer testimony on HB 15, that's Board of Fish Conflict of Interest? Seeing none, then we will close public hearing on HB 15. Is there anything else to come before the Fisheries Committee this morning? Yes, Representative Ledoux.
I got a question on HB 15. What's the next committee in the bill?
HB 15 is resources.
Resources.
Yeah. Is there any other questions or anything? I would like to make sure that all the committee members are aware that this Saturday is the grand reopening, I guess, of the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery in Seward. The committee has been invited to attend that and not only see the shellfish section, but the king crab hatch out that has occurred. There will be, we can go up for one day. We have been approved through the speaker's office for travel on that. And if people want to go up, there's a 7 o'clock in the morning flight and a 7:30 return. And there will be, there's a flight from Anchorage to Seward that they will wait for us to arrive. There are several of us going and the entire committee's invited. But if you want to go, would you please contact my office so they can give you those flight numbers. And so anyway, that I think will be enlightening to us. We've been talking about shellfish hatcheries a lot, so we'll actually get to see in person all that's going on there. Anything else to come before the committee? Yes, Representative Wilson.
I just wanted to make a comment. I would love to go to that, but I have a previous commitment. I've got to speak at a chamber meeting that weekend, so I can't go, but I would love to be able to.
We'll take pictures for you. Representative Holmes, did you have anyone else? Seeing nothing, they will be adjourned at 9:25.